You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. There is Mick and Christian once again. We are back. We are back virtually over StreamYard once again after the pub show, which was a good one. To do the Toulouse preview and just discuss a few other bits that's been happening for the Reds over the last couple of days. Before we get into it, Christian, how are you feeling now? You're back and you've not had a pint for 2 days. Are you feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, but I miss Liverpool straight away, to be honest, mate. That's just the way it is. But you have to live with it when you're not from there and just enjoy it when you're over. And then when you come back, you obviously need to understand that you can save a bit of money for next trip. So that's the way it goes, I guess.
Well, that's what, because I think you posted something about where you live and then you were like, oh, you should come over. And I was like, well, you should just be saving for your next trip or just save for a little flat next to the ground and just stay there.
Next to the ground. Yeah. I wish. It would be great, though, to invest in some kind of place to stay in Liverpool together with other people. I've already had that in mind and discussions with other people. But, there's something that probably might come in the future. We'll see. It's nothing like too serious, but there's been discussions. So, there's something that could happen when I'm a little bit older and the kids maybe a little bit older as well. We'll see. But it would be nice.
Definitely would be. It was a good trip. Very expensive, of course, especially after the win against Everton, where it didn't seem like it was gonna go that way up until the 75th minute where we got the goal. It was kind of feeling like a bit of a. It might be one of them days where we don't score, and of course, when you do win, then yeah, of course, the elation and whatever, and you want to get back on the pints and whatever. But it was a long day when you're starting that early. Half 12 kickoffs are. Bit of a killer if you want to stay out all day. But we ended up going around town a few different pubs. We ended up bumping into John Achterberg in town and had a little chat with him at the bar about the game and stuff. And I won't mention what he called Jordan Pickford, but it was hilarious. Even when you're coming over, and I'm obviously in town all the time anyway, like, but when you come over, it's always have a good time. And of course, your brother came over as well. So we got to see the sights and the pubs as well that he hasn't been to see for a couple of years. So it was that's why I was saying you need to get over more often, lads. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I try to win the lottery, and I'm sure I'll be coming over like every second weekend. But yeah, it was nice. People know this already, but we started off early on a Friday morning, flying out to Liverpool straight away, and it was pissing down. You know, it was still a little bit of the storm left over north of England, so it was pissing down. You know, from when we arrived at the hotel and checked in, and because of that, we just felt like let's just go to the closest, you know, nearest pub around the corner, which was one of the Wetherspoons. So we just popped in there with the two Swedish friends that we just know them over Twitter, but we sat down with them, and you know, we just started having pints straight away, and that was like, I don't know, maybe, you know, 10:30 in the morning on the Friday, and just kept on going. And we met up with you and with another two friends that we have in Liverpool that are Swedish studying there. So, you know, it was nice to just actually show my brother around again, because he hasn't been over, like you said, for a couple of years, and for him to meet you and the others. And it just turns into, you know, great day and night, because you just enjoy yourself. You're having a few pints, you go to different places, you feel the vibe of the city and all that. So that was a great day. And obviously with the derby kicking off early, like you said as well, The pub we went to, obviously, around Anfield, opened a little bit earlier than they are normally. So I think we were there just after 9 in the morning. And from there, obviously, that's a long day as well. But it is what it is when it's early kickoffs. But, you know, from the game, like you said, going into town after, it was rammed everywhere. So we obviously took ourselves to different places where we, you know, eventually went into the hole in your wall. And that's where we met John as well, like you mentioned. And it was a little bit calmer, so you can actually sit down and talk a little bit more and stuff like that. So it's just 2 days where I enjoy myself. My brother enjoyed himself. I know that because he said, you know, after the trip that he had a great time. And on the Sunday, I did a pub crawl with my brother and the two Swedish lads that we shared a taxi with on the Friday into town, because we decided that they're in the taxi. Like, if they wanted to join us, we can have a little bit of a pub crawl. And we went into your crack, Peter Cavana, and the Grapes, I think it's called, just around the same area, just outside the city centre. And I've never been there before, but you know, for people, I think, you know, listening to this, coming from Liverpool, they know what I'm talking about. But if there's someone not from Liverpool, you know, sometimes flying into the Liverpool to see games, I would recommend that, to go there and actually, you know, have a look and go into them and have a pint, because they're really nice, and the area around is very cool as well to just experience. It's just very close to the cathedral and all that. So three more new pubs that I now would like to, you know, put on my favorite list. So there's loads of pubs next time I come over, lad.
it's whether you fancy the rain. If the rain's not there, then you're all right, of course, on the Sunday.
Sunday was brilliant.
It was so better weather, so it's easier. But I think on the Saturday, it was just both days were just horrific for rain. So if you can weather the storm and you can fancy travelling out, there's plenty of decent pubs that you can go to, like even 10-15 minute walk from the city centre. So let's get stuck into the game a little bit then, because Toulouse at home, another game at Anfield. Of course, we beat Everton. We've then got Toulouse tomorrow. Then we've got Forest on Sunday. So another one. This one's at home, of course, in the Europa League. We need to be beating Toulouse. They're on 4 points. We're just ahead on 6. So if we do win this, we'll be 5 points, 5 points clear. And of course, then I'm just going to call them USG. USG beat LASK, then they can maybe go into second if they get a good scoreline. So we'll have a 5 point gap going into the fourth game of the group, which is great, because of course, with the other games coming up, if we can get this group stage kind of sewn up quite soon, and we can maybe play a few more of the younger lads towards the last couple of games, which is always good to blood those type of players, like the likes of Scanlon and other Chambers maybe in those games towards the end. But how are you feeling going into this one then? Because of course the international break, we of course get the early kickoff and whatever, and then now there's this one back at Anfield again, 8 o'clock kickoff. So how are you feeling going into this one in terms of like lineup and that potentially?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, I haven't read in too much about Toulouse. I just know they haven't had the best form. There was something I just saw, you know, randomly coming, I think like my Twitter feed or something, just mentioning something about their form hasn't been that great. And I'm just thinking, you know, we should rotate a little bit as well, because we play on the Sunday, and even if we play at home, it's, you know, it's Premier League now in the run that we have that is most important, because like you said, we still have a very, very great opportunity to go through from the group, and I think we will. But I think it's time to rotate, and I think we will be, you know, in a big advantage against Toulouse anyway, because the quality that we have. So I'm quite looking forward to this game in another sense. Then I was obviously looking forward to the derby because I was there, but it's more like that's more of a, you know, emotional thing, because it's a derby and, you know, you just want to win against Everton. It doesn't matter how you win, you just want to have the 3 points, and it's obviously in the Premier League. So for me now, it's more like I want to win, but I'm not as, you know, invested in this game emotionally. I'm more like, okay, it's another group game in the Europa League. Let's do the job, rotate the players, save some for Sunday, because Sunday is the most important thing for me. So I'm just hopefully think that we go and get the 3 points against Toulouse anyway, but use some other players just to make sure that we don't pick up any stupid injuries or things like that.
Yeah, because just on what we played in the Everton games, it was Alisson in goal. We had Trent, Konate, Van Dijk and Tsimikas, who came in for, of course, the injured Robbo. And then we had Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch, Salah, Jota, Diaz. So, I mean, if Kelleher's fit, hopefully he can come in for this one. The likes of Kwanzaa can come in. Maybe Gravenberch starts again after this impressive performance. Maybe he gets another go. Nunes played, what, the last half? So maybe he starts. I don't know. We haven't had any update on Ben Doke. So there's loads of players that can potentially... there's the Bacetiches. I don't know where they are in terms of recovery and whatever. Still don't know about Thiago. Of course, Thiago still hasn't been back yet. And there's people saying, like, is the new stand going to get done before Thiago comes back? That's how long it's taken for Thiago. But there's plenty of options either, even regardless of those type of players that can come in. The likes of Kwanzaa, who's come in and done really well since he's just been thrown straight into the first team. But the quality that he's got is clear to see. So hopefully he gets another go as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, he will play. I'm quite sure about that. And, you know, how we look at the left back, depending on how we set up and stuff like that. But I don't think Tsimikas had his best game against Everton. And I think he's been having troubles, the last couple of games when he has played. He hasn't been as good as he was when he came. And I think that's a weak link for us because of the left back situation now with Robertson out for so long. I wouldn't mind actually playing Joe Gomez to left, because he's played there before. I remember when he came to Liverpool, he was playing there a little bit, and he's quite all right to do that. And especially when we go forward and we go like three at the back, he's one of the players who can actually do that, I think, quite well. But something says that Tsimikas might be starting again, just to actually maybe play him in form, because obviously he was substituted against Everton. But then to keep playing him, to keep giving him the belief, might help him as well, especially in the Europa League, where the opponent might not be as good or have the same quality. So we'll see about that. But then, yeah, Kwanzaa, maybe Matip, maybe, you know, Trent will start or whatever. I don't know, because having the creativity to use him. Midfield, Endo, Gravenberch, maybe Elliot. I don't know, because Elliot was obviously substituted on in the derby, so he didn't play the whole game, something like that. And if Gakpo feels that, you know, he's fit and ready to have an impact, he can play a little bit as well, just to make sure that we don't overuse Darwin or him, you know. So there's a bit of a rotation there, and with Ben Doak not obviously having any new information, we'll see what happens, you know, press conference and stuff. But, you know, if he's actually, you know, available, I would like him to play. But we also know what kind of impact Salah can have on us, you know, playing, and the points that he can get. So it's just very interesting to see that we got the players to be able to rotate and actually give players a chance to prove themselves and play in form and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm looking forward to be a little bit surprised as well.
Yeah, I think with Gomez, I think it maybe goes right back, and then you've got, of course, Keller was on the bench against Everton, so hopefully he's fit. So he'll go and go Gomez, right back, Matip and Kwanzaa, and then you could even throw, if you fancied, throwing Scanlon, left back. He's a left back that could come in. He was on the bench against Everton, he's a young kid, so we could, yeah. I mean, it might be maybe a step too far, but he's involved in the first team squad. He's been on the bench and stuff, so maybe throw him in, see how he does in a game at home where you've got the fans behind you and stuff. And then, like you said, Elliot, Endo, Gravenberch, there's Gakpo, hopefully comes back. So there's I mean, like you mentioned as well, like the Forest game is another big one that we need to keep and maintain the run that we're on in terms of obviously the Premier League, because we're 3 points behind the leaders, Spurs, which that just sounds mad to me. The Spurs are top of the league by 2 points, but like we've kept saying, to be in and around where we are at the minute in the league, that, and we need to just keep pushing on with that, and of course to have the ability to have players that can come in the likes of Endo, very experienced, and can come in and kind of be a leader in the midfield with maybe some of the younger lads. So there's plenty of options, isn't there? I think that's the exciting part, and these type of games, that it's never ideal, Europa League, and that's the downfall, really. Of course, we want to be in the Champions League, but doubly because like the Thursday and Sunday things does piss you off a little bit, but
yeah,
never playing on Saturdays as much as it is, does do your head in a little bit. But there's plenty of options, and like I said, being at home is a massive boost, especially with the players that can hopefully come back in. The likes of Gakpo would be lovely if he could come back in, and just maybe even if he just plays 45 or 60 or whatever, or even if he comes off the bench and plays 30, then plenty of good stuff hopefully can happen tomorrow and get that 5 point gap at the top of the table. So what are you thinking then in terms of the dreaded score prediction? There's a special birthday for Dominic Szoboszlai, which we'll leave to the end, but we'll do score prediction for Toulouse. What are you thinking, lad?
Oh, I had 3-0 against Everton, so I go 3-0 against Toulouse then, just because I feel that obviously we're thinking that they are not the best team or in the best form at the moment, as it looked like. I'm thinking, you know, even if we rotate, there's hungry players there, there's quality players, and it's at home, so I fancy us to score a few. So 3-0 sounds about right in my mind.
Yeah, I'll go. I don't want to copy it. I'll go 3-1. I go 3-1. I mean, I don't know loads about Toulouse, but like you said, I know about their form recently and stuff, and of course, us being at home, we're massive favourites and whatever. But yeah, just to be different, I'll go 3-1. This doesn't matter anyway, the score predictions. All that matters is in the Premier League predictions, of course, in the WhatsApp group, which I got 2-0. I got 2-0, lad, last week. So I got
I got
the 3 points, which was even better. That's all I wanted for my birthday, and I got it, which is boss. So hopefully we can go there and put down a good marker, and like I said, get those points, and then have a bit of a gap between us and second. I think that's key, especially going into the other games and a couple of maybe tricky away games that we need to navigate as well. So the more gap we've got, the more bit of error we can potentially make in those games. Even if we draw one of them, it won't be the end of the world, considering who we might be starting in those games. But yeah, the likes of Salah, you imagine, will be on the bench, because if we need him, we can come off and do stuff. So there's always a nice blend of, I find, the way the squad is at the minute, it's always a nice blend of like first teamers and then youngsters. So, and then he just likes the surprises as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, would you, if we get the information about Ben Doak not being available, because we really haven't heard anything, would you play Salah then to the right, you know, from start, and then, you know, get something changed with him after, you know, maybe first half or 60 minutes, depending on what the scoreline is and stuff like that? Would you start him?
I think so. I feel like it's, at this stage, not unreally. I mean, the Everton game was one of his worst in terms of, he still scored 2 goals, but in terms of overall play and passing and his general influence on the game wasn't the same as it usually is. But what you can't question is his ability just to play every game, because he's just a machine. So I kind of expect him to start this one, because of course Ben Doak went on the bench, and there's been, I think he got injured for Scotland under 21, so we don't know where he is with that. But hopefully, even if Doak's on the bench and Salah plays again 60, you know, and you bring Doak on for the last 30, or if Doak's fit and you do it vice versa, I think either way kind of is still decent, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just natural to start Salah if Ben Doak is not available. It just feels natural to start him instead of trying to, you know, experiment with someone else that maybe not too used in a position. I know that we, you know, Elliot could go up there, or we can switch sides on, you know, maybe you know, this Jota and Diaz who can, you know, there's options to do that, but it just feels natural. If there's no Ben Doak, then Salah goes in for a start, and then depending on how he has an impact on the game, where hopefully, you know, he provides points in some way, we have a lead, then we can take him off and anyone can actually go up in that position then, because then we got the lead and we can might play in a different way. But it just feels natural, like you said, because his availability all the time, that if there's no one else, Mosala would start, because he works, you know, it works for him and he's always available and he loves to score goals and, you know, continuous record breaking, you know, road to, I don't know, legend status that he's already having. But, you know, I think, you know, he's one of them players who wants to play every game, even though he's probably he understands that sometimes we need to rest as well because there's bigger and more important games coming up. But he's one of them who just want to start and play every game because he can. So,
yeah. And like I mentioned in the Everton reaction show, like about him only being 6 goals off 200. So he'll be seeing this game, his eyes will be lit up going, I can maybe get another 2 towards that 200 and get to the 200 mark. Because, of course, I always wondered, like in the past, like is Salah like consciously knowing and like thinking about these records? And as we've seen over the years, and as Klopp always mentions, he always is. Like he's always checking. He's always like, when people say to him after a match, oh, you've scored this many goals, he looks and smiles like, I know, I've got that on my wall, mate. I've been marking that off for weeks.
Tick them off.
Yeah. So another game where he can potentially get towards that big 200 mark, which just is crazy. The more you think about it, like he's 6 goals off 200 goals for Liverpool, which is, yeah, I mean, we use the word machine, we use the word world class, plenty of other words that we use to describe Mo Salah, but yeah, he's
machine.
Machine, yeah. I've been, of course, Christian and his brother have been over teaching me Swedish, and I can't even say Swedish. Yeah, machine is machine in Swedish, and that's like we were laughing about. That's one of like several that I know now, but they're all very. I mean, I wouldn't last 2 seconds if Swedish people didn't speak English very well, and I was over in Sweden, I wouldn't have a clue. But yeah, we haven't mentioned Zobislai because, of course, this will hopefully be a game that he doesn't play in, because he is one that works his ass off every game. Like even the Everton game where we go down and score, he's absolutely running as fast as he can. Like I didn't even realize when we were in the ground watching it, but when you watch the Salah goal back, the second one, he just makes a long bust and run from the McAllister ball, like, and the speed and the pace that he's got, and he kind of slows himself down to not block the pass to Salah, and that's kind of the man that he is, and how hard he works, and how key that he is for us. And today is his 23rd birthday. I said it was a special one before. I guess not special, but he's a special man. So it's every birthday for Zobislai is a special one. But it's mad that he's only 23 today, and even he's only played 12 games for us so far. The fact that he's so key now, he's so instrumental in what Liverpool are trying to do in terms of that press and quality on the ball, and obviously the goal against Leicester is just, hopefully we can see loads more of them. But yeah, 23, it's mad, isn't it? Like he's still hopefully got like 10 plus years left of the club, and it's that's an exciting thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, obviously he's young and he looks young, but he's also look older, but in a mature way, you know what I mean? Like, you know, with his beards, and he looks like the way he presents himself in interview stuff, he doesn't look like a 23-year-old, you know what I mean? He looks a little bit older, like he's been playing football longer. He just have this maturity and aura around it. But yeah, he's a great player, and you know, I still can't believe that we got him for, like, you know, a bargain, and actually, you know, he coming to us playing for us, and you know, so quickly just adapt to the way we want to play, have an impact straight away in the way we play, and you know, find himself being one of the star men. So you know, it's like you said, that run against Everton is, you know, the perfect example of what kind of player he is. That he, you know, even in that late minute of the game, he just runs because he knows that he wants to make himself available as an option. He wants to put pressure on the opposition, because if it was only Darwin and Salah running, there would be them two that go for goal, and that's where their defenders would focus on. But now there's another man coming straight power, going, you know, like you said, he slows himself down to not block the pass, but he still asking questions to the Everton players, like, what the fuck, where, you know, even though obviously going and aiming for Darwin Nunes and Salah because they are the most forward players in that situation, he's still there to just make sure that they can't relax, because if you block them, I will make myself available to go for a finish from where he is, so even go around Darwin. I just love that he thinks like that, because it means that, you know, we're going to make sure we win this and get the 3 points, because obviously that's the 2-0 goal that makes sure that we go and win the derby. But without that goal, there's always a, you know, a risk that we might just, you know, concede a shitty goal that makes it, you know, a draw, and that's it. So he wants to make sure that when we get to get off at that pace that Darwin comes with, I'm going to go with them to make sure that we not lose this opportunity to win this derby. And I love that way of him thinking, acting, you know, playing. So, you know, I know we got obviously Van Dijk as captain and Trent as vice captain, and he's also, you know, very young, but, you know, Dominic Soboslai for me is the perfect captain in one way. He just feels like a captain.
Well, I mean, once Verge sadly retires, then Trent will then become captain. Then there is a very early shout for Soboslai to be vice captain because of the kind of relationship that they've got. They're clearly very good friends off the pitch. I saw a funny video the other day on Twitter, and it was like Soboslai and Trent like just messing about in the changing room, and it was like the caption was like, Robertson's in the corner like screaming that used to be us, and then it like kind of pans to Robbo, and Robbo's just tying his laces and not even looking at them. It's just like, what's going on here? You're totally busy here. It's mad to think that he's it's mad how much he's just came in, and like no one kind of knew much about him, and of course we knew the quality in terms of like just how good he can strike a ball, but even like when I spoke to Adam Bogdan, he couldn't believe how fit he was in terms of energy and running around. But he's kind of just got on board with like how Liverpool do stuff, and to do it so quickly at such a young age, like 22 now, 23, it just kind of shows like how, I mean, I saw like a clip about him talking about his dad and how he helped him be the player that he is now, and he'd take him to training and he'd be very hard on him, and he'd play him against like the older lads to make sure that he was getting higher quality at a younger age so he'd progress quicker and all that stuff. And I think that's kind of, you can see the end product in the end, because like you said, he plays at a higher level than what his age suggests. Like there's at that age you can make a few mistakes, and no one can really, we can have a go at you, but it's to be expected at that age. But he's kind of now, if he makes a mistake, and he has made a few passes here and there, he'd always run his arse off and try and atone for it. But more often than not, his passing range and his ability to get on the ball and just be a cool head, even when opposition players surrounding him, he's just very cool and calm, and he's just got so many good qualities that he has came in, and you're like, who's this, what's this player going to be, how is he going to fit in? And then all of a sudden, within a couple of games, you can see it straight away. And it's mad how Liverpool always do that. It's mad but good.
Yeah, and it just says it all about, you know, the people being responsible for the scouting as well. You know, they know the players, they know who's out there. It's just a question of who would fit in best in terms of how we want to play, how to, you know, represent the Liverpool Football Club as a player. We know, I mentioned that before, we know Klopp have referenced back to in interviews that like when we look at players, we know they can play football, but it's very important how they are as a person and all that kind of stuff. And looking at Soboslai, he seems to be, you know, only 23, but he's very much a man in my world, you know what I mean? Like, he's very down to earth, he's a little bit, you know, he's a captain and he can have a little, you know, a cheeky smile and a little bit of a joke in him as well, but it feels very serious and genuine and all that. So, you know, to get him for that price, and even though, you know, I've seen him before and I thought like he's a very interesting player, but I didn't know that he had this quality straight away in him to adapt to the Premier League. Like, if you come from the Bundesliga, from a team, even if they were good, to actually take those steps and become better and better takes maybe even a season for some players, just, you know, get into it. And then you'd see over the summer, like the next summer after they've been here for a year, you can see, oh, okay, they developed, like we've seen Darwin have developed, you know, the first season, and then over the summer we can see, okay, he's getting better and better. But Dominic Soboslai, just like, it was just like, oh fuck this, I'm gonna get better straight away, and just jumped straight up to that level. So it's great to see, you know. And with the midfield, like we said, we have McAllister, Soboslai, Gravenberch, and Elliot, Curtis Jones. You know, it's it is very interesting for a new midfield, if you like, that, you know, we got such great quality players in terms of everything, very all around. They are very good when it comes to their technique, to their creativity, physique and everything. So, yeah, you know, it's just a great future for our midfield in, you know, I would say, into, you know, if you look back on what we had and how we made that change over the summer and what we got now and how it actually works. So maybe, you know, for the future that we need a proper number six, someone who's really, really good in that position. But as it looks now, I'm not concerned. I just think it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, again, like we said, it's the credit that Klopp deserves for kind of getting rid of players and maybe older players in midfield leaving and bringing in the likes of Szoboszlai, 23, McAllister, 24, 25, end of the year, and Gravenberch, Curtis Jones kicking on, and hopefully he can come back and after his ban and kind of fit back in. But Gravenberch has then come in a little bit against Everton and showed how good he can be, even if one or the other aren't available. They can both fit in and do a very good job at a high quality level. So there's it's plenty of to be excited about. And Szoboszlai is the kind of like the main one that I just look at and think he's just a star. He really is. And I think under Klopp as well, like, I think these like players like I always think of like Jadon Sancho went to United, and you think very good player, but if he goes to a club that's not right for him and the wrong manager, then it can go wrong. It can easily go wrong. I just feel like any player that we can, when you see them go and they're very good players and doesn't work out, you always wonder, like, if you would have came to us, how different would it have been for you? Because I always feel like under Klopp, the percentage of it for it to go right is just so high, because if you get on board with what we're trying to do and you've already got the quality, then it must be. Not easy, but it must be so much easier to adapt and kind of get on board with what Liverpool are trying to do, and especially with the kind of the atmosphere that we've got in and around the dressing room, the players that we've got. There's a nice blend of players that have been there and won it all, and they can kind of tell the other lads like how to do stuff. Like I saw like Trent discussing about how he's trying to tell the new lads how like the derby is like a massive thing, how they can how to get used to it and what to expect, and those type of like anecdotes from those players are massive and trying to and helping these players like adapt to what Liverpool is, because it's already easy to adapt to most clubs, I would say, but the fact that the players that we've got and the manager that we've got and the atmosphere we've kind of created over the last couple of years, I feel like it must be just such a nice environment to kind of just go straight into and be able to play your best game as quick as possible, really.
Yeah, you know, you can look at what Klopp has done, you know, since he came in, but like you said, you know, if there's any players that come into us, they usually, or you know, they're most likely to, you know, develop and thrive in the way we play. There's only, you can argue it's only Keita that's actually didn't work out because of the injuries. We paid quite a lot of money for him. He has loads of football ability in him, but you know, got injured and kept on getting injured, never got into the rhythm, and that was a little bit of a waste of money and, you know, position and all that kind of stuff, even though obviously he had an impact and won everything with us. But same with Thiago. But you know, there's also a question about, you know, maybe taking a little bit of risk with an older player that already had like an injury record. So maybe they were all already aware of it, but they thought like he got that quality, we can still use him as a, you know, and as we did in the first time that he came to us. Now it's more problems. But if you look at everyone else, really, and even the youngs that we had in the academy, like Curtis Jones, you had brought in obviously Harvey Elliott from Fulham, and you know, we've got Trent coming up and all. Everyone has turned out to be better. You can tell Robertson, you know, obviously coming from Hull, cheap, you know, a good left back, but no one that was talking about him in a way that we did just two seasons in his Liverpool career. He was world class. So from just coming to Liverpool, getting on the Klopp and his way of, you know, like mending you into a player that you are supposed to be, because you've got the talent, you've got the willingness and you want to sacrifice yourself for the way that he want to play and the way that he want to do things. And if you're on board with that, like you said, you know, Klopp is the perfect man. And everyone, like even when Salah, Mane came in, they were good players. They were like, obviously Salah came from the Premier League as a failure, went to the Serie A and then, you know, did it good, like very good, but not on the same level that he has since he came into Liverpool. And Mane was good in the Premier League for Southampton. Yeah, everyone can, you know, saying, yeah, good player, but what will he do when he comes to us? Will he become better? Will he have the same standard? But he came, you know, up to world class as well. And same with Firmino playing under Rodgers. And then Klopp came in, and obviously from the time in Bundesliga, he already then, like, you don't know and understand how good this player is, and developed him into, you know, a very special and world-class player in the position he played. So from everywhere on the pitch, everyone has become better, and some have reached the world-class level. Some have just, you know, maybe reached the great player level. But, you know, all together, it's massive, and that's why we also went to win everything that we did.
Yeah, and hopefully we can... Yeah, the players that we're talking about can reach that level by going and winning things. And I mean, where we are in the league, no one's expecting us to win the league. But if we can keep our level and remain around that area towards the end of the season, we know Liverpool have got enough quality to beat anyone. So it is very exciting to think about how the season's going to go. And of course, if we can go all the way in the Europa League, then even better. And of course, the domestic cups that start. Soon we'll even have more games to maybe blood some more youngsters and see what they're made of and see if they can make the step up as well. So only takes a couple of games for some young kids coming and do well, that then you start to think of them as part of the furniture in terms of first team lads, because it happened to Kwanzaa. He was straight in and showed us what he can do. So it only takes a few good performances to kind of, you get a sense of the right for the club, and they can come in and do a job. So I mean, there's plenty of players that we've got that can fit that bracket, and hopefully they can crack on and do even more. But yeah, I could do another half an hour on Szoboszlai alone, but we shall leave it there. Hopefully the Reds can go and beat Toulouse tomorrow in a game that we, like I said, we can go 5 points clear. So it's a big game in that regard, where we can put a gap in between us and second place, and yeah, hopefully blood a few more of the youngsters towards the end of it, where we can, maybe when we're in those later games where we're resting players for an upcoming game against the Cities and the Arsenals and the Uniteds and other teams like that. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Nice one as always, everyone, for listening. We always say we appreciate it, but I'm always going to keep saying it because we really do. And yeah, thanks to Christian. He's unfortunately back in Sweden, but we'll do a petition to get him back over soon. Don't worry. Yeah, nice one. Nice one, everyone, for listening. Nice one to Christian, as always. And we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Podcast Network.